This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Let's do this. Another day, another dollar, another edition of The Drive. You're listening to The Drive on 610 Sports Radio, 610sports.com, and the brand new Odyssey app. My name is Carrington Harrison. Very happy to be here with you on Hump Day. Rob Brenton producing this thing. We are taking you up until 6 o'clock. Coming up in about 15 minutes. So, if you guys don't remember, in the month of June, I am watching 80s movies I have never seen. I watched Top Gun this morning to start off my day. I'm going to have my official review for the movie Top Gun coming up in about 15 minutes. We will then give you the opportunity to pick the next 80s movie that I will give a review for on Friday. So I have watched Top Gun. I took notes on Top Gun. I'm ready to have a detailed conversation about a summer blockbuster back in the 80s. We'll do that coming up in just a bit. But we're going to start today's show talking about the Denver Broncos and Peyton Manning. Some of you might be asking why. Why would you be talking about Peyton Manning? What did Peyton Manning do? We hate Peyton Manning. Why would you start the show with him? Well, Peyton Manning, as you know, is going into the Pro Football Hall of Fame this year. He is also going into the Denver Broncos Hall of Fame. So it is now official. The Broncos announced it. Peyton Manning will be the 35th player inducted into the Denver Broncos Ring of Honor. The Hall of Fame quarterback led the Broncos to 4 AFC West titles, 2 AFC championships, and 1 Super Bowl victory during his time in Denver. And when I was reading this paragraph, I was thinking to myself, all right, let me do the math here. 4 AFC West titles, 2 AFC championship games, went to a Super Bowl, lost a Super Bowl, also won a Super Bowl. Who does that sound like? Oh, yeah, it sounds like Patrick Mahomes. And it was wild as I was going through the numbers. So Manning has played one more year in Denver than Mahomes has played so far in Kansas City. So Mahomes has one more year to match the time that Peyton Manning was in Denver. The Broncos won the AFC West every time that Peyton was there. They only had two divisional round losses while they were there. A Super Bowl appearance, also a title. Peyton Manning, his years in Denver, averaged 4,200 yards a season, 35 touchdowns, and 13 interceptions. Patrick Mahomes, over that same time frame, is averaging 4,600 yards a season, 38 touchdowns, and 7 interceptions. It is wild to say. It is wild to think. It is wild to believe. But Patrick Mahomes, in his 3 years in Kansas City, has been better than Peyton Manning was in Denver. And I remember watching those Denver Broncos teams and the dominance that they held over the other teams in the division. San Diego then at the time had Phillip Rivers. Kansas City had Alex Smith. Vegas was in a transition back in Oakland, and they had Derek Carr as their quarterback. And you remember the dominance that the Broncos held over the other teams in the division. They were Debo. They were beating up on all the other kids on the playground. And now when you think about it, that is exactly what Kansas City has turned into, and they've turned into a super version of what the Denver Broncos used to be. We're talking about Peyton at the absolute tail end of his career. We're talking about Peyton that had, what, 3 years really of dominance, maybe 3.5 years of dominance in that last 8 to 10 games. We realized that it was over. for Peyton Manning. We're talking about you got to multiply what Peyton Manning did in Denver times three, times four, maybe times five, and that's the run that Kansas City could potentially go on in this division. We're talking about if Mahomes is the starting quarterback, let's pick a nice round number of 15. They might win the division 13 of those 15 years, 12 out of those 15 years. That's the kind of dominance that we've seen so far for Kansas City in this division. So Peyton certainly had a great run while he was there. He threw over 1,700 yards in four seasons, 140 touchdowns, and 53 interceptions. Mahomes, in theory, should blow past almost all of those numbers in his four seasons as a starter for Kansas City. He's certainly going to pass it in yards. I'd be shocked if he didn't pass it in touchdowns and interceptions. I expect they're going to win the division, so that's going to match what Peyton Manning did at his time at Denver. He might have more Super Bowl appearances by the time it's done than Peyton Manning did. The run that we're seeing from Mahomes is better than the run that we saw from Peyton Manning when he was in Denver. Coming up in a little bit, I'll give you my official review to Top Gun. But Rob, we've got some other quarterback news in the NFL. So, friend of the show, Rich Gannon, has been replaced at CBS. We're trying to figure out who's going to be his replacement. Well, we might have an idea. The report from the New York Daily News is that Alex Smith is auditioning to be a commentator for CBS. Rob, I don't know where you are on this. I actually think Alex Smith would do a really good job. I don't know so much in terms of the entertainment value of what Alex Smith is going to be able to provide, but it's not like you need him to go up there and be some comedian. So right now they're auditioning Mark Sanchez and Alex Smith. If they're trying to get some of the old blood out with Rich Gannon, as he's not going to return to CBS. He actually hasn't been picked up by a network, so we're not even sure if he's going to be calling games this upcoming season in the NFL. Alex Smith, this is the natural progression I think you make if you're a player with his intelligence and his cachet in the game. You either go call games immediately, and maybe you don't get the instant Romo treatment or what Drew Brees appears like he's going to have with his deal over at NBC, but there's a lot of crews over there at CBS. There's a lot of college football games that are out there that someone with Alex Smith's cachet is certainly going to add to somebody's network this upcoming season.
Alex Smith would be an ideal person for this. I always worry about guys who jump straight from basically the field into the booth because it's been mixed results. We saw Tony Romo. Tony Romo's great. I know some people don't like Tony Romo. Tony Romo's good in the booth. Jason Witten, though, horrible in the booth. So I'm always leery about the jump straight in. I think you're right. I think whoever gets Alex Smith will do a very, very good job, especially after hearing his interview with Coward where he was very open, fun, easygoing, very smart. I think Smith should start in the studio and progress up because I know the report also says Mark Sanchez, who's very good on ESPN right now, in the studio for college football would be my first choice. But I don't think you can go wrong with Alex Smith. I just think the jump needs to be player to studio to game because it's a different animal in the booth.
I think Mark Sanchez is almost a shoe-in for this job, and he's going to do fantastic. If CBS is trying to get some new blood, and I certainly understand why they're trying to do that, Mark Sanchez to me is a no-brainer. No way of knowing how the auditions could potentially go for Alex Smith, but everything we know about Alex Smith, he just screams very natural and easy transition from the field to the booth. So we'll keep you updated on if Alex Smith is going to be a member of the CBS broadcast team. That's not the only quarterback news today in the NFL. Kareem Jackson said this about Deshaun Watson.
Yeah, I got a great relationship with Deshaun. I've been talking to him the last couple of weeks, man. And like all he's been telling me is like, look, Jack, just tell him like, that's why I want to be. That's why I want to be. I'm like, man.
He see the setup. The line straight. He see the setup.
He like, man, listen, that's why. I want to be in Denver. And during the time while I was going through, you know, my little free agency thing, and then I end up signing back here. Before I signed, he called. He was like, man, are you going to sign? I was like, I don't know. I ain't sure yet. He was like, well, you know, let me know what you're going to do, whatever, whatever. And I signed back. He's like, listen, man, tell him that I want to be in Denver.
So that was Kareem Jackson talking about Deshaun Watson. Maybe I've missed something. Maybe there has been some break in the case with Deshaun Watson that now he can go back to making demands of where he wants to play and where he doesn't want to play. Bro, that time is over, Deshaun. That time of communicating through the media or having your boys go on podcasts and pass on information about what you want or what you will and won't do, that time is over. I think the Texans have made their stance pretty clear and seem pretty open in moving on from Deshaun Watson. There was a time there where I was thinking, man, this relationship has gotten so bad. I don't know how he can continue to be there. I don't know what Deshaun Watson's leverage is right now when it comes to the Houston Texans. With everything going on in his personal life and off the field, their stance to me seems a very simple one. We're fine with letting Tyrod Taylor start for this team. I don't know many people that think that the Texans are going to be a good team this year. I actually think from a talent standpoint, they're the worst team in the NFL. But your leverage is completely done. You're not retiring. Like, if we're talking about the two quarterbacks right now that seem to be the most unhappy with their current situation. So Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay and Deshaun Watson in Houston. Aaron Rodgers has far more leverage than Deshaun Watson has. And I also don't know how much leverage Aaron Rodgers has. If Rodgers decides that I'm not playing football anymore, he owes the Green Bay Packers $33.5 million. I don't care how much money you have. Nobody wants to write a check to their old boss for $33.5 million. So that to me seems like a non-starter for Aaron Rodgers when it comes to his back and forth right now with the Green Bay Packers. What's Deshaun Watson's recourse? Not playing this year? He might be suspended for the first 8 games of the season by the NFL. So then his trade value isn't as high anyway. So this time for Deshaun Watson to huff and puff and make demands and say what he will and won't do this offseason, that time is over. The moment that first sexual assault allegation came out, you lost all credibility and all credence when it comes to your trade demands. If I'm Deshaun Watson, I wouldn't have anybody else speaking on my behalf when it comes to playing football. Everything that will happen with the Texans and the NFL is eventually going to work itself out, but he is going on the commissioner's list. Deshaun Watson, even if he was able to, is not going to be at training camp for the Houston Texans by way of Roger Goodell, in my opinion. So we can certainly have the conversation about Aaron Rodgers and him potentially making the jump to the Denver Broncos. I think there's a chance of that happening. Deshaun Watson is not playing for any other team in 2021. If it ain't for the Houston Texans, he is not playing football this season. I don't think all of that is going to be his decision. Coming up next, we are starting my 80s movies reviews. Earlier today, I watched the movie Top Gun. In June, I am watching for the first time 80s movies that I've never seen before. The first one is up next. Keep it locked right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive, weekdays 2 to 6.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back. Basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Back in on The Drive on 610 Sports Radio, 610sports.com, and the brand new Odyssey app. Coming up in a little bit, we'll talk some NFL, more specifically Kansas City Chiefs related. But a couple of weeks ago, Rob and I came to the conclusion that I haven't seen nearly enough 80s movies. I feel well-versed in movies from the 90s and the 2000s that people would deem to be popular films, but I've got a little bit of a blind spot. I've got a little bit of a weakness when it comes to movies from the 80s. So Rob made a list. We were going back and forth and we were talking about movies from the 80s that I potentially missed. I was actually excited to dive deep into Top Gun. It is a movie that I've heard a lot about. I know it's a very popular film starring Tom Cruise. I don't really know many other people in the movie. I believe that was Meg Ryan that was in it that had the bad haircut. She did look like Meg Ryan. We'll get into my thoughts on the movie. So on Friday, I'll have another review, so I'm t- technically off from this show tomorrow, but I'm on Fesco in the morning, so I can't give you a review tomorrow. So Friday, I will have another review of an 80s movies. All right. Number one thought I had is watching Top Gun. Pre-Goose dying, the movie was not that good. Pre-Goose dying, it was much more about his relationship with his instructor than it was about them flying planes. Up until Goose dying, the movie was like at a 6.5, 7. I didn't think the movie was that great. Number one, I thought going into it, I thought it was going to be a lot more explosions. Like I was thinking in a true summer blockbuster fashion, it was going to be a lot of boom, a lot of gunfire, a lot of missiles. I eventually got that. But in the very beginning, wasn't a whole lot of that happening. He was spending more time off playing volleyball with his homeboys and chasing this girl around than he was about actually blowing stuff up. So that was number one. I actually felt kind of bad for Goose. Now, I'm not going to lie to you. I got kind of emotionally whenever Goose passed away. That's not what I was expecting to happen. Like, I knew that there had to be some turnover in Act 3, right? Like, they had built the characters up. I had become like, all right, cool. I like these guys. They're fine. At that point, I hated Val Kilmer's character, and we'll get into Val Kilmer's character here coming up momentarily. I didn't see Goose die in the way that he died. I assumed that he was gonna, what I was thinking as I was watching it, Rob, was that the higher-ups were gonna find out about his relationship with this instructor, and then that was gonna be the conflict in the movie. That's what I was thinking. And then, as they were about to crash, I'm like, well, both of them are gonna die. Come on, now the movie would just end. And then when they ejected, I'm sitting there thinking, yo, that don't look right. I knew even then something didn't look right for Goose. And then, oh, he's sitting there holding them in the water. And then the guy tells them, you got to let him go. You got to let him go. For about 15 minutes there, I was heartbroken that Goose had passed away. We had just met his wife. We had just met his kid. How did they let Goose die this way?
Goose dying is an emotional moment. I'm happy you got to experience that emotion. And if I recall, it's like, you had this scene in the bar where he's at the piano playing Great Balls of Fire with Meg Ryan and his kids. And you're like, God, Goose is the best. He's not just Maverick's guy. He's like a genuinely good guy. And then the worst possible thing happens. And it tears up Maverick, which is why the movie's so great.
The movie needed Goose, though. They needed the comedic relief. Because Val Kilmer's number two, I can't remember what his name was. He was a loser. A big loser. Goose was actually like legit. Really cared about Maverick. They had a good 1-2. They trusted each other. They had each other's back. That was a real team there. Iceman and his flunky, that guy was a loser. I didn't like his. I actually dislike, of all the characters in the movie, I dislike Val Kilmer's homie more than the rest of them. Disliked him more than the rest of the people in the movie. Moving on in the movie. Number two. So the scene, they all walk into the bar, right? And they're showing like all these attractive women. He went to go hit on the one dressed like a school teacher. That's the one that Tom Cruise had his eye on, the one dressed like a substitute teacher in that bar. It didn't make any sense. He had on his Navy suit, his Army suit, whatever he was in. I mean, that's a cheat code when you walk into a bar. They even knew it was a cheat code. You talk to her? Nah, man, it doesn't make any sense. It didn't make any sense. I didn't get that part of the movie. I didn't get how we're talking about the highest rank of the military that someone can get to. He's just dating his instructor and no one knows. That never became an issue. She's his evaluator. Was she not? She was his evaluator. How are they in a relationship?
They don't really worry about the logistics, how that's supposed to work.
That seems like a conflict of interest. And she has to remove herself from that assignment.
And he like chases her back to her house once on a motorcycle, which is problematic. But no, we don't worry about that. Yeah, we're on to the next.
That part of the movie just didn't make sense.
Different time.
Very different time. Then he walked in the bathroom. He was low-key stalking her.
He did walk in the bathroom and he was like, hey, I got shot down once, but I got this. I'm going to keep taking my shot.
The 80s were a wild time. Jake Taylor from Major League, big stalker, and now Tom Cruise. I will say this about Tom Cruise. Tom Cruise is the greatest action hero alive. I'm sitting there watching. I'm like, I get it. Nice looking guy. Nice smile. Great hair. Great charisma. How could you not like Maverick? How could you not like Maverick? I mean, the way he carried himself, he didn't seem to follow the rules. Val Kilmer was doing it by the book. Maverick was like, to hell with the book. Maverick was Russell Westbrook. That's the kind of mentality that he had. I loved Maverick's character. I was a big fan. I will say, someone on the text line just said this, the volleyball scene was very unnecessary. What is the purpose of the volleyball scene? To show their teamwork? To show off them not in shirts? Like, what's the purpose of the volleyball scene? He missed his date with her to play volleyball with his mans? The volleyball scene made absolutely no sense in the movie. And it added nothing to the story other than to show them not with their shirts off.
I mean, the volleyball scene's really weird. It's extra weird to me when you consider the fact they're shirtless in jeans. Like, can you think of a worse thing to do on the beach other than be wearing some jorts running around? It'd be so uncomfortable.
That was a very 80s scene. Mm-hmm. A very 80s scene.
And they slow-mo'd it. It was peak 80s cheesiness.
All right, I already got to Goose dying, and it absolutely tore me up. Meg Ryan's hair, I don't know who her stylist was, but she needs to fire them because her hair looked terrible in the movie. This is when the movie really started to turn for me. I was ready to give it like a 6.5, 7. And then from the moment Goose dies until the end of the movie, it's a 10. It's perfect the rest of the way. When he's sad and you really feel for him because you really loved his like bravado and his swagger and his confidence. And then he was broken just like how Cougar was in the very beginning of the movie. Like you really fell for, man, my man's got to get back up on that horse. And then he quit. And then she goes to talk to him. And he just doesn't have that same Maverick spark. And then whenever she calls him by his real government name, oh my God. Thanks, Eric Mitchell. That's Maverick. Don't call him that. I got mad at the TV when she called him that. And then you knew my dog had to come back. And then Val Kilmer's character, Iceman, he was perfect in practice. When they weren't actually shooting live bullets and missiles, Val Kilmer was the greatest pilot in the world. And then when they had a real assignment, he was terrible. You're telling me that's the person fighting for our freedoms and keeping us safe, Val Kilmer's character, who couldn't really fly when they were real live bullets?
I mean, this is why Val Kilmer is a very unliked character in that movie.
He sucks.
He's all about it. He's all about getting his shots up in the practice gym. But when it's game time, the lights are on.
He was shook immediately. Mm-hmm. That's when terrible.
You need a little bravado. You need a little, you know, little break the rules mentality in those moments. Val Kilmer can't thrive in those moments.
He didn't have it. He was a straight system quarterback. Mm-hmm. He had no improvisation skills. Not at all.
He's Kirk Cousins. He's fine in practice. He ain't going to win with Kirk Cousins.
All in all, I'll give Top Gun an 8.5. I'll give Top Gun an 8.5. This was a great start to watching 80s movies that I hadn't seen before. I really enjoyed Top Gun. I got emotionally invested in the characters. I think for the most part, the action held up. I wish there was a little bit more action in the beginning of the movie because there wasn't really any action in the first hour of the movie. The last 30 to 40 minutes of the movie was all action and drama. I was there for it. I was there for the action. I will say this, if you could turn the music up one more time. Soundtrack a little overrated. Soundtrack was overrated.
It's just two songs.
They had three songs the whole movie.
Elite songs.
I knew, and I could almost pinpoint when they were happening. They had Danger Zone. Danger Zone played, I wrote it down. It played 5 different times in the movie, bruh. You had all that budget for all the planes and explosives and stuff. You couldn't have a real score? You couldn't have a score.
The limit does not exist, the amount of times you can play Danger Zone. Play it 50 times. I'll be happy.
They played it 2 separate times in the first 5 minutes of the movie. Get this song away from me. They then had like one sad song that they kept playing in the movie. I don't know the name of it.
This one?
Yes, this song. This one. This one. They played this when he went to her house. They played this just randomly out of the blue. Why do they keep doing this? How do you guys love a movie that only has 3 songs? Terrible score. Awful score. All right, let's go through the other 80s movies that I have on the list. And then on Friday at this same time, I'll give you guys my review of that movie. I'm giving Top Gun officially an 8.5. It was a great movie. I enjoyed it. I see why you guys are so excited for them to do a remake. I'm excited about Top Gun Maverick. I was sitting there wondering. It was kind of funny because I was sitting there watching it, and I assume they're bringing back most of the characters. So in the first part of the movie, I'm like, oh, I hope that Goose is still alive, and I hope that Goose can be a part of the sequel. And then when he died, I was like, oh, well, never mind. I don't know how he can be in the remake. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know how Goose can be in the second movie.
I don't believe he'll be returning. I have a hunch. Here are the other 80s films we decided you need to watch.
Why did they have Goose die that way, though? Why? I mean, didn't have to do that, man.
How else would you gotten rid of him? You can't have the plane explode. They're both gone.
Oh, my God. I was so mad. I was legitimately mad whenever Goose died.
That's fair.
That might be one of the saddest movie deaths I've ever seen. Then the way his body's just lifeless. Oh, my goodness. It hurt my soul to see Goose like that.
Here are the other 80s films text line. Don't keep adding names. We've done this. We have the names. We're now deciding the movies. We got Back to the Future, Star Wars, Empire Strikes Back, Ghostbusters. For some reason, you refused to allow this one on the list, but it stays on the list. E.T., Princess Bride, Uncle Buck, Vacation, Weekend at Bernie's, Airplane, Fletch, When Harry Met Sally, Fast Times at Ridgemont High, St. Elmo's Fire, The Goonies, or Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade. I think you need a palate cleanser, something light and fun.
Okay.
I would suggest Vacation. It's light, it's fun. You had a dense one with Top Gun. You need something fun. Bring your spirits back up.
I'm kind of in that, like, I want to see the action movie, though.
I really
want to see it. I'm trying to think of what movie I would pick. I'd probably pick Indiana Jones if I could.
The fact you haven't seen Indiana Jones is still wild to me. That's not a bad pick.
I would probably pick Indiana Jones.
Indiana Jones would be a good pick.
If I had to pick any of those, I would pick Indiana Jones. Text line 913-576-7610. Let me know what movie you guys think I should watch. Text line 913-576. Hey, when do you guys do sports on 610 Sports Radio? Coming up next, it's The Drive.
The Drive. 610 Sports Radio.
This is your home for Royals baseball. 610 Sports Radio.
Check out the new First National Bank of Omaha location. It's Sonoma Plaza in Lenexa. Get the text code at the new location to enter to win the ultimate backyard refresh. One winner will be selected at random to win a $1,000 gift card to Nebraska Furniture Mart for patio furniture plus a grill. And you'll also get $250 in a grocery store gift card for grilling supplies. You can enter now through Sunday, June 13th. Coming up at the top of the hour, we'll be joined by Rex Hudler. We'll talk to him about his pizza choice, as his pizza choice was not very good. We'll also talk to him about the Royals, as they are now back under 500. Coming up in a little bit, we'll tell you about a guy who is not very smart. We'll do that coming up in a little bit. But let's talk some sports here. This is Matt Verderam, good friend of mine. He covers the NFL for FanSided. So I asked him about Bashaud Breeland and sort of his reaction. He doesn't think that the Chiefs had the same offer on the table that the Vikings did for their former corner.
I don't think that same offer was there with Kansas City. I don't. Now, I think maybe you know, later in the summer it could have been. You know, let's just say, for an example, like if Tyrann Mathieu gets extended, the Chiefs are going to have a lot more cap space. So maybe if that happens, then maybe the Chiefs do make that deal for 1 year and $4 million. The other part of this is, I can tell you, they believe a lot in DeAndre Baker. You know, like when they got Mike Hughes in the trade from Minnesota a month ago, I think the expectation internally is, hey, look, we're kicking tires here. If he can play, he can play. That's great. If he comes here and he finds and made him a first round pick, that's awesome. But we're not overly invested here with Baker. They really, you know, before the leg injury, they expected that he was going to come in this year and compete right away for a starting job. Now, how much does that leg injury change things? It remains to be seen. But, you know, I could definitely see a scenario the Chiefs are looking at this and thinking we've got Baker, Ward, Fenton, and, of course, Lajarius Sneed, who's now your number one guy who gives you some versatility. I still think they would have been better off signing Breeland. But I also understand where their point of thought is, and a lot of that's going to come down to how healthy is DeAndre Baker and how well does he play.
That's my guy, Matt Verderam of FanSided, does really good work. He has a very popular NFL podcast called Stack in the Box with FanSided. I think the Chiefs are taking a pretty dangerous risk. I think this is a pretty dangerous gamble that they are making when it comes to the corner position. Typically, you're not going to choose the injured over the healthy in a sport like this. DeAndre Baker. Now, I do think that Baker was underutilized with the Giants system, and he's going to be a much better fit here in Kansas City. But you're also rolling the dice that he's going to be a healthy player. He's going to be able to avoid injury and take a pretty big step forward from what he was back in New York. We do know that the Chiefs seem to like these reclamation projects, and they've had 50-50 success. We could certainly point to some hits and some misses when it comes to either drafting a player and rolling the dice on them, whether it's signing a guy like Mo Claiborne. I would say they took the same gamble on Bashaud Breeland whenever he was a free agent. So this is sort of what they're going to do. We call it the Veach special, where it's you trade a fifth, a sixth, or a seventh round draft pick for a guy who is a former first or second round pick. They're counting on their ability, I would say, to turn at least two of them around. I'd be a little bit surprised if all of their cornerback hit, just not really how it works, especially if you're not going to spend the resources. But you agree, Rob, they either need Mike Hughes to hit this season and be a plus corner, or they need DeAndre Baker. If they get both of those guys to hit, then it's a big bonus for this team, and that solves almost all of their cornerback problems moving forward. But the odds are you're probably not going to get both of those guys to be A grades this year. If you can get one of them, in addition to Snead, in addition to Tyrann Mathieu, and then you got Ward, Fenton, and just due to attrition, you'll pick up somebody else at the cornerback position. Is that going to be enough to make it work at that position?
I mean, the short answer is probably not. I mean, yes, the Chiefs have hit on reclamation projects. You are correct. DeAndre Baker and Mike Hughes are both reclamation projects. They have had success with that in the past. But it does not mean that you are always going to hit with that. I know it's a cross-board comparison, but stick with me here. When the Royals were in their window and everything was great and everything was hunky-dory, Dayton Moore hit with a major reclamation project. Remember, he brought in Ryan Madsen, and he was a good setup man for this team. And it worked, and they won the World Series. The following season, he brought in Joaquin Soria, who was also a reclamation project on a three-year deal that he thought the pitching coach could fix. And he was not that good here, and fans hated him. I view relievers and corners kind of similarly. When they're great, they're great. But on the whole, they're kind of a roller coaster. They're up and they're down. That's the nature of the position, and such is life. But if you're banking on two reclamation projects hitting, that's a big risk. And what Matt Verderam said there is very interesting to me. Internally, they believe DeAndre Baker could start have a fight for a starting role before the leg injury. If you're playing as a guy who played in, what, two games last season, that's a big, big risk by this Chiefs organization.
I think what you said there at the end is maybe the biggest part. It's kind of been my big thing this summer is kind of they're gravitating towards not a lot of experience and or not a lot of production. It's not like DeAndre Baker, even when he got here. I understand you got to learn the system and get up to speed. You remember, he was getting healthy DMPs when he first got over here. Was getting healthy DMPs. He didn't get on the field until everything was clinched and done for Kansas City, and that's when he got an injury. So if we're even talking about DeAndre Baker and his ability to integrate into this defense, we didn't really get a whole lot of film, didn't get a whole lot of tape in his ability to do so because he didn't play long enough last season. So this year, they're either counting on inexperienced players, a guy like Snead who just doesn't have a lot of NFL snaps, doesn't have a lot of NFL reps, or two guys that are coming off significant injuries in DeAndre Baker and Mike Hughes and their ability to turn things around and be that reclamation project that you just mentioned.
Maybe I'm alone here, and you mentioned that there, that everyone's high on Snead, and he only started 9 games last year, but everyone believes he's going to be a star, and I think he's really, really good. But like I mentioned earlier, I kind of view relief pitchers, I know it's baseball, and corners the same way. The great ones are always great. Jalen Ramsey, Mariano Rivera, those are known commodities. But your 6th, 7th, 8th guys, your 2 through 4 corners on most teams are kind of hit and miss most seasons. Some years their ERA is 2-4, like Joaquin Benoit. Other years, they're meh. Let's use Charvarius Ward as an example. He was really good for this team in 2019. He was pretty average for his team in 2020. So a part of me is definitely scared about banking on the one known commodity on this team being a fourth-round pick out of a Group of Five school who has not started a full 10 games in the NFL, and fans have penciled him in as a lock. I am a little bit nervous about that being the lock in this position group.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm a little bit worried about that being the lock for this group as well, but at this point, I don't really know what other option you have. So I've been kind of beating the door down on they need to go pick up a veteran corner. There's no veteran corner that made more sense than Bashaud Breeland. They decided to go in an opposite direction. And according to Matt Verderam, that wasn't a contract. Even what he got in Minnesota, which is a one-year deal up to $4 million, that wasn't a contract that they're willing to sign either. The only other person that would make sense would then be Richard Sherman. The only other player, if we're talking about from a veteran standpoint, that would make sense to bring into the mix, that's a known commodity and that we know. Because I would say if you're cutting a cornerback in August, that's probably not somebody who can instantly step in and help you. That's not a position in which you're going to find help. You could find help maybe at wide receiver. You could find help at running back at that point in the season. You're not finding cornerback help in August. You're getting the Orlando Scandrick types. You're getting the Mo Claiborne where they get an opportunity to see you, evaluate where you are, and then you're not good enough to make the roster at corner and they're happy just throwing you to the wolves and letting anybody have an opportunity to pick you up. That's not a guy who you feel can come in and instantly help a team that can win a Super Bowl this year in Kansas City. So if they're planning on rolling the dice to get a main contributor from the waiver wire when it comes to corner, I would say that seems a little bit slim and a little bit opportunist where you'd have to find the right situation, the right everything would have to happen. But the odds-on conclusion to this is they're probably not making another addition. They think they've got it. They think with DeAndre Baker, they think with Mike Hughes, they think with Snead, the help from with the help from Tyrann Mathieu, with the other guys in the mix, these are the five guys that they're going to roll with the corner. That's how this story probably ends.
And that is probably how the story ends. And you're right. It's got a story is going to end. Then maybe they add a Mo Claiborne type, whatever. The easiest way to take pressure off a young or inexperienced secondary is pass rush. And that's another part of this that has me a little nervous because on the surface, an inexperienced secondary, young with some high upside guys, is nerve-wracking. But maybe if you had a great pass rush, it would take a little bit of the pressure off that secondary. We both agree the Chiefs pass rush is probably worse now than it was last season, right? They have Mike Danna / Taco Charlton at one end with Chris Jones, Jaron Reed, and Frank Clark. Jones and Reed are very highly paid, but they're also not consistent contributors at an elite level. If this pass rush ain't going to hit home, that it opens up even more problems for a very young and very inexperienced secondary. So the question will be, this will be the question up until September, whatever the first game of the year is. Are they going to add in camp before camp a pass rusher, which will inherently take some pressure off the secondary because it will make the game faster for the quarterback? Or are they going to add a piece in the secondary, which will inherently help the pass rush because maybe you get a guy who covers and then get a few coverage sacks? One of the two needs to be addressed before they kick off the season, in my opinion.
Text line 913-576-7610. I'd love for the Chiefs to pick up Richard Sherman, sign him to an incentive-laden contract. If it doesn't work, then it doesn't work out. The thing about Richard Sherman to me that I would say doesn't seem like a great fit for what Kansas City wants to do is, if you had a hesitation to signing Bashaud Breeland to a contract, you're going to turn around and then sign that deal to a 32-year-old future Hall of Famer who only played in five games last year. Like, the odds suggest that it's over for Richard Sherman. That's what the odds suggest. If you're still available at corner at this point in the season, the market has told you that there isn't a market for your services. If you're still available at, what are we at now, wave five of free agency, either you were doing what Bashaud Breeland was doing and holding out, and once Casey Hayward signed his deal, there wasn't really a room, I think, for Breeland to get much more than that if he hadn't already at that point. So if you're Richard Sherman, I don't think that there is that contract out there for you. And if you're Kansas City and you weren't going to give that deal to a guy who knows your system, a guy you already know fits, and a guy that is very popular in the locker room, then I don't think you're turning around and giving that to an outsider in this aspect when it comes to Richard Sherman. I'd be really surprised if they sign Richard Sherman to a deal. I could see them signing somebody who gets cut, and that's just another body to throw in there. Maybe he makes a team and maybe he doesn't, but I'd be really surprised if they spent the resources necessary to go out and acquire Richard Sherman, who you could definitely get it cheap, but we're talking about a guy who comes with a certain name cachet. I don't think that that's a guy that you're just going to sign for a one-year, $1 million deal and give him a bunch of incentives. If you weren't willing to do that for Breland, then I don't know why you'd be willing to do it for a guy who is older and more injured than the guy you already had on your team. Coming up in about 10 minutes, we'll be joined by Rex Hudler from the Royals Television Network. Rex Hudler will be on the show coming up in a little bit. But before we do that, Rob, let's get to Found on the Internet.
Nobody spends more time on the internet than CDOT.
You have 28 cat videos playing simultaneously?
He's watching SVU reruns. He's scrolling Twitter and he's selling hoodies. That's why we're bringing you Thoughts from the Internet on The Drive.
All right, the number one thing I found on the internet today was there was a gentleman in Detroit. He had hit the lottery for $30,000. Life-changing money. Well, you know what happened to this gentleman? He hit the lottery for $30,000. He then turned around and then bought a $20,000 chain with those winnings. He's walking around on the west side of Detroit flaunting this $20,000 chain. You guys probably see where this is headed. So you know what happened when he pulled up at the local Quick Trip? They beat that man up and took his chain. You know you can't flaunt that kind of wealth around in those kind of neighborhoods. That's number one. And number two, bro, you hit for $30,000. You spent $20,000 on one piece of jewelry? You deserve to be robbed for that reason.
It was a typical afternoon here at this West Warren gas station in Detroit near Grand Boulevard. Customers coming in, filling up with gas, buying lottery tickets. It was a favorite spot for our victim, Jamal.
Thanks, sweetie.
Customer walks in, shakes his hand, a couple more customers behind. The guy in the black, pay close attention to him and his buddy, right behind. They're looking for some easy pickings, and Jamal is their target.
I hit the lottery.
Jamal won $30,000 on the Michigan lottery, bought himself a $20,000 necklace. You see, he's wearing it there. He's heard of people getting robbed for their jewelry.
Yeah, it's a thing. So I was just looking around, making sure nobody ain't trying to get my chain, but...
But they did get his chain. He walks out the store. The suspects were waiting.
So I ran back and tried to get back into the gas station. They had grabbed me, tackled me down.
A particularly vicious attack, punching him, kicking him, getting him to the ground, ripping off his gold.
Yo, I mean, it's not funny, but it's funny. You got lined up, my G. You know you can't be moving out here like that. You know this. Sometimes I always say whenever you watch horror movies, and I know you don't really like those kind of movies, but people in scary movies, Rob, act like they've never seen scary movies. If you grew up in this kind of environment that this man was in and going to the gas station, you know the dangers that are outside. You can't be wearing $20,000 worth of jewelry by yourself and not think that somebody is not going to line your pockets up. And that is 100% what happened to my guy out there. 100% what happened.
I hate to laugh. The fact the newscaster was British and called him easy pickings.
Easy pickings!
Just, it made me laugh and it shouldn't.
He was food is what he was. He was food.
Lined him up like easy pickings. I'm like, oh my God.
He was easy pickings. That's what it was. You know when they practice those tip drills for linebackers so they can get those easy picks and Derek Johnson would always drop them? That's what he was. Easy pickings out here. Absolutely easy pickings. Coming up at the top of the hour, we'll be joined by Rex Hudler, Royals television broadcaster. What's up with HUD's taste buds? We'll ask him next. Keep it locked in right here. It's The Drive.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.